You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Canada and Mexico are two neighbors in North America and trade conversations. Ottawa, Reuters, in these last hours, Canadian business and labor leaders will meet in Toronto to discuss diversifying trade and boosting the economy in the wake of U.S. threats to impose tariffs, according to the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist at the Wall Street Journal editorial page, observing both our neighbors, but we begin with Canada. Mexico is next. Mary, a very good evening to you. The allegation by the Trump administration, as I understand, is that Canada is not doing enough to secure the border from fentanyl trade and from migrants coming across the border unvetted. And therefore, the trade tariffs were announced suddenly, and that roiled the market for 12 hours, and then a conversation between Justin Trudeau, who is a lame duck vice PM, and the president said 30 days to talk about it. They're apparently going to talk about it in these next hours, and the conversation will turn on what is to be done. Mary, is this working? Did Donald Trump get what he wants with these promises of increased border security, and is that sufficient? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Of course, anytime we're speculating on what Donald Trump is actually thinking, we're poking around in the dark. We don't know. My sense is that he did not get what he wanted. And what happened to him was, here's a guy who really, really believes in tariffs. He believes that you impose them, you collect a lot of money, and you force businesses to manufacture domestically rather than overseas and import things. So those are two deeply held beliefs that he has. The problem is that they clash with reality because the North American economy in particular is an ecosystem of interconnected companies integrated in their manufacturing process. So we don't import finished products from Mexico per se. What we import is some parts. We do some assembly here. We send it back over to Mexico. They add value. They send it back to us. In the automotive industry, they say that manufactured goods cross the border a half dozen times or more in the process of assembly. So this is the reality that Donald Trump faces when he says he's going to put 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada. And I think what happened here was that he got an earful from the business, all these businesses that rely on the allocation of capital to the most efficient markets in North America, got to him and said, if you do this, it's going to be a disaster for us. It's going to harm the U.S. economy. So he fell back on his, I'm a brilliant negotiator, and I have just extracted concessions for Mexico and Canada. Fact of the matter is he could have gotten those 3 weeks ago. Mexico, which was terrible, I would agree with the president, under the former president of Mexico, Andres Lopez Obrador. But since then, the new president, who's a student of AMLO, but is more tied into reality, has said that she's willing to work with the U.S. on security protocols and intelligence and stuff. And that's actually already happening. So this was just sort of a fig leaf, a cover for him when he had to back down on the tariffs. But I don't think that he got anything special from either Mexico or Canada that he couldn't have gotten several weeks ago.
In your column, of apparent major significance are the thoughts of Pierre Poilievre, who is the Conservative Party leader and expected, according to the polls, to be the next prime minister when that election is held, very likely the spring of this year. And the quote that you have from Mr. Poilievre is that this is very straightforwardly not a good idea. When energy is excluded is the one little detail that Mr. Trump added. Poilievre is unhappy. Justin Trudeau's unhappy. Canada's unhappy. I want to just focus on Canada now. We'll come to Mexico in a moment.
Okay.
The Canadian unhappiness is a surprise to Washington or not? Did they expect that this would be the reaction? I'm trying to measure what it was they meant that Mr. Trump wanted to achieve in this, because he has no ally in Canada on this.
I think he thought that he could put on the tariffs at no cost. And when he saw the market tanking on Monday, he backed off. But when you say, what did he think he's going to achieve? I would go back to, again, his deeply held beliefs that tariffs will allow him to collect a lot of money because people will be importing things. And then eventually, when those things become too expensive, manufacturers will come back to the U.S. and make everything in the U.S. That's his ideology on trade. And when the ideology clashes with the immovable object of the market, he backed down. Now, he didn't back down long term. He might still try to do them, but he gave it 30 days because he I think he needed an out. I mean, he blinked, and his supporters don't want to hear that. They are very angry at anybody who would say that. They say that he's a brilliant negotiator. But in fact, Canada doesn't even send that much in the way of fentanyl to the U.S.
Right.
And so it's a kind of a preposterous suggestion that somehow he's got this great triumph on his hands.
Mexico, though, is another story. Mary, is it your measure that Claudia Sheinbaum has the ability to do more to guard the border from the cartels? They're very powerful.
Well, Mexico, I think, has been overwhelmed by the cartels. And there's a little bit of two things going on, I think. On the one hand, I think there are many crooked politicians who accept bribes to allow drugs to flow through. But on the other hand, there are just a lot of people who want to live. And when the cartels are so powerful that they say, get in our way and we're going to decapitate you, as they did to the mayor of Chilpancingo in Guerrero a few months ago, people say, you know what, I'm not going to get involved. So there's a little bit of a sort of blind eye, turning a blind eye to it. I think what Mexico needs is some of the sophistication from the U.S. in terms of intelligence gathering. And that has been slow to come because there's distrust on both sides of the border. I mean, the U.S. distrusts Mexico because of the corruption, and the Mexicans distrust the U.S. because they believe that the drug war is a demand problem and not a supply problem. They don't think they can end the supply of drugs as long as American consumers have this voracious appetite for drugs. So, but I think what we've seen happening since Sheinbaum came into office, you know, she put as the top security person a guy called Garcia Harfuch, and he's a very prominent crime fighter, and he was crime fighting in Mexico City while she was mayor there and had quite a bit of success. So I think what you're starting to see is a little bit more cooperation between the two sides, which is exactly what's needed. You're not going to solve this problem, but you can make it less of a problem than it is right now. And let me just say one more thing, John. I know I'm doing a monologue here, but on migration, principally what happened was, as long as Joe Biden had a sign hanging out that said, everybody's welcome, just call asylum and you can come in, that just was a huge magnet for all kinds of people from everywhere in the world to tromp through Mexico and go to the border. So President Trump is actually going to stop a lot of that flow very quickly by simply just saying, borders closed and you're not getting in, you're not using this asylum claim to get across. And I think that will diminish the incentives that a lot of people have to go. And then they can start to try to take apart these smuggling operations.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the Wall Street Journal, you anticipated my question, Mary. I'm John Batchelor.